stand for the Pledge of Allegiance? I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Okay, thank you for joining us this evening. Okay, we're moving on to agenda item 4, approval of minutes of the regular meeting of August 14, 2017. Regular meeting of August 28, 2017, and the special meeting of August 31st, 2017. May I have a motion to approve the minutes of the regular meeting, August 14th, the regular meeting of August 28th, and the special meeting of August 31st, 2017. Okay, Mrs. Dell'Erba, seconded by Mrs. Jors. Any discussion? All in favor? Against? Okay, passes 7-0. Okay, we're going to move on to the superintendent's report. Mrs. Rossi?
Sure, okay. Welcome, everybody. We have a small little crew with us tonight, so I want to welcome you all here this evening. We had two wonderful opening days with our staff last Tuesday and Wednesday. Our first day back with staff kicked off with an inspirational message of positivity by best-selling author John Gordon. And our instructional employees were given a thorough training on the district's new Surface Pros that they all received. Thank you to our tech department, as well as our new social-emotional curriculum in grades K through 6 called Second Step. Additionally, we have a new crew of monitors and aides throughout the district, and this group received training by attorneys on confidentiality laws, FERPA laws, being a responsible employee, and the poor use of social media. The district allergy policy, as well as other safety protocols, as well as the Second Step program. So overall, we had two fantastic days with the staff that came in first, and then we welcomed back all our students on Thursday, September 7th. It was a very smooth opening. Bus rides overall were on point. I want to congratulate all of our principals for their hard work in ensuring a very smooth opening. So thank you, principals, Ms. Mangoni also, who's our assistant principal, and all directors. There's an overall theme this year, and we're calling it the power of positivity. Obviously, the staff heard from John Gordon, but the kids, also at the junior-senior high school, had a wonderful, wonderful guest speaker on Friday. His name was James Origio, and he also talked about the power of positivity. So we're seeing this theme, which was just really a wonderful way to open up the school year district-wide. I just want to reiterate, we do have our open houses in the month of September, beginning with tomorrow night at the grade school, grades 3 and 4 at 6:30 p.m., grades 5 and 6 at 7:30 p.m. Thursday night, we have the elementary school open house, meet the teacher night at 6:30 p.m., and then the high school is Thursday, September 28th at 7 p.m. So, you know, we are getting ready for all of those welcome back evenings for our parents. I have some other additional news to report. Just today, we trained all of our PTA K through 6 parent volunteers, classroom parents, on the new allergy policy. And I want to officially thank, even though they're not here tonight, our three nurses who were just terrific. They did that training for us today. Additionally, buses have been running with very little complaints. I want to thank, you know, everybody who have helped us implement, you know, changes in the last 2 years to busing. But we are having the drivers in the first 2 weeks of school keep bus counts, head counts for AM and PM. We might have to make some little tweaks here and there with certain stops, but we are taking head counts currently. I also want to recognize Nancy Padrone. She is our interim food service director. She's been terrific along with our building leadership. As you know, the high school kitchen serving line is in full function right now, and what we're doing, we're actually preparing the meals and bringing them down to elementary and grade schools. But she and her staff have been terrific. The elementary and grade school kitchens are not yet functional, and she will be updating parents again tomorrow if there's an extension of the contingency plan, okay? So we're waiting to get her feedback tomorrow morning. I do want to mention about athletic accolades. Our athletic program was recently recognized by the New York State High School Association and Section 11 with the Award of Excellence for the 2016-2017 school year. 100% of our varsity teams achieved a 90-plus average, which was really great to hear. Additionally, the association is recognizing Babylon Junior Senior High School for earning the 2016-17 School Distinction Award, and that will be presented at their AD's meeting this Thursday, September 14th at the Holbrook Country Club. So hopefully, maybe somebody from the high school is able to attend with Mr. DeJoseph. That would be really nice, but congratulations to our student athletes. I did want to mention, we received an email from a graduate who had wonderful things to say about the engineering curriculum that he received here in Babylon. So I'm going to read you an excerpt from this email. He wrote it to a teacher here on staff in our technology department. I quote, it says, "I just wanted to let you know how worthwhile learning AutoCAD was. I'm majoring in mechanical engineering with a concentration in acoustics and will need to take a graphic communications course this semester. The information you taught on AutoCAD has stuck with me, and 2 years later I'm working with the same program, doing the exact same things I did in high school. Also, I wanted to thank you for being one of the best instructors I had in high school, being a great coach, and using a program in class that you knew would someday come in handy." So I just thought that was really wonderful. Okay. So yeah, great opening. And that's pretty much all I have for now. Okay.
All right, thank you. Okay, moving on. We're gonna go to committee reports. The audit committee, Mrs. Donaldson.
Hello everyone. Few things to report. As it looks now, the 2016-2017 preliminary school lunch fund numbers are positive. We expect to finish in the black and increase the existing school lunch fund balance. The New York State Teachers Retirement System audit was completed on August 23rd. The audit went well. As of now, New York State Teachers Retirement System has the information they need, and hopefully we will hear from them relatively soon. The independent audit, Colin and Danowski, they will be back in the district 9/20, so next week, and hopefully that will complete all the field work, and then we will wait for their report. And last but not least, we do have the draft form of our last key control testing report. When we receive the final report, we are going to review it, and we are hoping to do that on September 25th at 6 o'clock.
Okay, great. Okay. Thank you, Ms. Donaldson. Moving on to finance, Mrs. Jors.
As I say every meeting, we don't eat until January, so I have
to set that autopilot. Okay. Thank you, Mrs. Jors. Moving on to buildings and grounds, Mr. Benzavega.
Yeah, we'll be meeting on the 25th. We'll be discussing, among other things, the capital reserve fund, some recommendations for that. We're going to want an update from our friends at SEC in terms of where we are with the summer work that has been done. Also, be a good time to talk about punch lists in terms of what needs to be finished up around the school buildings. There's still a fair amount of work going on. And those are the main topics that would be addressed in the report.
Okay.
And the field, yeah, we have to talk about the race for the field. Yeah, that's what we're going to do with that.
Okay, good. Thank you very much. Technology, Mr. Montalto?
Okay, yes. We had a busy summer, and I have a list of stuff that has been done. We upgraded the backbone of the network, including the entire domain structure, new home directories, and new shares. We added 191 access points throughout the district. Every classroom now has Wi-Fi. Thank you. We imaged and installed 300 computers and 150 monitors. Also imaged and distributed 185 Surface Pro 4s to the teachers and administrators. We installed 7 new LED touchscreen displays, which have wireless projection capabilities like this one here. We migrated all staff, Gmail, G Drive to Office 365. We created 1,500 student accounts, and we wired the three buildings for the security system. Our next meeting is on the 25th after the work study. Correct? Or before?
Correct.
After. Yeah.
After.
They're all after.
Yeah, they're all after. Okay. Great, thank you for the report. Moving on to the curriculum committee, we have Mr. Ms. Delgado.
We actually have a change. Our first date was going to be next Monday, the 18th, but a conflict, so we're going to be meeting the 25th, but at 3:30.
Wow.
Yeah,
wow. Okay. And we'll just amend that to the website. Okay,
and
great.
What time is going
to
be the conflict?
6:00. Okay, moving on now to the policy committee. That's Ms. O'Brien.
Our first meeting is Thursday at 3:30. Mrs. Razi assured me we have three policies she said to be reviewing.
Two
policies.
Okay, thank you very much. Okay, moving on to agenda item 7, board agenda items. Questions from visitors on agenda items only. Please approach the podium and state your name.
Good evening, Robert Stroh. Okay. Could somebody explain what a literary liaison is?
Sure. We have in our K2 and 3-6 building, we maintain a literacy liaison. This is basically a teacher leader who's working with the principal and the staff and the consultants that work in the building with the teachers, just to keep the work moving in between those days when a consultant's there. So they're just keeping meetings going, keeping information flowing between the consultants and the teachers, and working with the principal to maintain the literacy program.
Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Stroh. Okay, any other questions from visitors on agenda items? Okay. Any discussion on agenda items before we move forward? Okay, so seeing no more discussion, may I have a motion to omnibus items 1-6? Ms. O'Brien first, seconded by Mr. Montalto. Any discussion? All in favor? Against? Okay, passes 7-0. May I have a motion to approve items 1-6? Mr. Benzavega, seconded by Mrs. Donaldson. Discussion? All in favor? Okay, against? Passes 7-0. Okay, moving on. We do have a couple of items to walk on this evening, and Mrs. Rossi is going to read each item individually, and I will motion to approve them separately.
Sure. Okay, item number 7 will read as, resolve that the Board of Education hereby appoints Dr. Salem Matar as school medical inspector pursuant to Section 913 of the New York State Education Law in order to evaluate the fitness of the employee named in the attachment Schedule A to perform his or her duties, and be further resolved that pursuant to Section 913 of the New York State Education Law, the Board of Education directs the employee named in the attachment confidential Schedule A to appear for examinations in the office of Dr. Matar at a date and time to be scheduled.
Okay. May I have a motion to approve item 7? Ms. O'Brien, seconded by Mrs. Donaldson. Discussion? All in favor? Against? Okay, passes 7-0. Okay, Ms. Strauss is going to read item number 8.
Resolved that the Board of Education hereby appoints Dr. Salem Matar as a school medical inspector pursuant to Section 913 of the New York State Education Law in order to evaluate the fitness of the employee named in the attached confidential Schedule B to perform his or her duties, and be it further resolved that pursuant to Section 913 of the New York State Education Law, the Board of Education directs the employee named in the attached confidential Schedule B to appear for examination in the offices of Dr. Matar at a date and time to be scheduled.
Okay, may I have a motion to approve item 8 that was just read? Mr. Benzavega, seconded by Mrs. Jors. Discussion? All in favor? Passes 7-0. Okay. Moving on to agenda item 9, other business.
Okay, as Mr. Benzavenga briefed us at the September 25th meeting, we will have an update on the grade school fields as well as a comprehensive list given to all of you as to capital reserve project ideas which Dr. Daly has been working with principals on developing. So we'll pass that out to you tonight. You can take it home, read it, look it over, and then we'll have discussion on the 25th. Here
you pass these down, please?
Okay. I wanted to update everybody on hurricane preparedness. You know, with everything that's been happening in the last week, there is always a possibility of severe weather, especially during these months in this season. Mr. Hodge has met with all of the head custodians and maintenance and grounds crews to discuss the following. The startup and backup of generators that we've ensured they have adequate fuel and tanks are filled to capacity. We've developed a plan to move refrigerated food to another school if any school would ever lose power. We've made sure that all district vehicles have full tanks. We've checked all emergency lighting. We've had the grounds checked for their equipment for proper working order. And we have, obviously, we share out emergency contact information, which we do well before school starts. But also that radios are charged and working. You just never know, you know, the fall season with hurricanes that can come. We're ready and prepared in case anything else comes up far north way. All right, and he really spent time talking with the people who were here for Sandy at the time and what they experienced. So he got very acclimated to what we need to do and how to prepare best. So I just wanted to mention that.
Okay. Well, a quick question on that. One of the things that came up very Sandy is schools couldn't be used as shelters because we had the generators inside the buildings.
Right.
Now we've changed that by design and intentionally when we did the bond.
Yes.
This is not something you can just do, but I mean, I probably suggest that we at some point reach out to the Red Cross. And,
I already have.
Yeah, great.
Okay. I already have. We could deem these as shelters because of the generators and where they're located now.
Right.
You'd have to pass a board resolution to do that also. So they're sending me paperwork. I'm going to try to get it on the September 25th meeting.
Perfect.
But you have to, by resolution, deem them such shelters. Mm-hmm. All right.
Thank you for being thought.
Is that the concern of the board? Is the whole board on board with that?
Absolutely.
Yes.
I would just like to throw something out. I don't know what the exact requirements are to become a Red Cross shelter, but I think you have to give it careful thought, because once you do that, you could have situations where people are in your shelters and you may want to open and operate schools. So you could have situations where the fact that you are a Red Cross shelter, which is a great idea, I don't know how it impacts you from the standpoint of operating your programs if that situation that resulted in people needing a shelter now comes in conflict with your ability
typically
to operate the
school. Typically what happens, I'll tell you what typically happens. Once schools reopen, people typically will find other housing. I mean, the shelters are for the temporary where everything is shut down. It's typically in crisis. There are a number of Long Island school districts that have deemed themselves shelters. So, you know, if it is the board's desire that Babylon does wish to do that, we'll look into that and give you more information. Okay?
Thank you. Any other business?
I have another question.
Mm-hmm.
We talked last meeting about John Harris coming back in transportation.
Late October, early November, he's telling me.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. Anything else? No. Okay. Any other business on the board? Okay. Moving on to agenda item 10, representatives of organizations. Please approach the podium and state your name. Okay, moving on to agenda item 11, questions or comments from visitors. Please approach the podium and state your name.
Good evening, everyone. Is this on? Yes. All right, so I came with a whole bunch of stuff. First of all, the Alumni Hall of Fame, I've missed some meetings. I haven't seen anything on the website. I don't know how that's going. I saw the application process closed in May.
Yes.
I guess they're being reviewed.
Yes. We've selected 8 alumni. We have a whole committee. They've been contacted. We will be having them invited, well, they're already invited to join us on homecoming weekend. So they're actually coming in the Friday before homecoming. But really on homecoming Saturday, they're marching with us in the parade, and we'll be recognizing them at halftime.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I'm going to give you, before I go sit down, an alumni nomination for the next time.
Sure.
But I do want to say a little something about it. My husband's class had their 40th reunion back in August. It was awesome on the whole. The school tour, of course, was a little different than they had hoped for, but one of his classmates was one of the Black Hawk pilots, if you're familiar with the movie Black Hawk Down. Fortunately, one of the surviving pilots. So we were talking about it. That's something that we wanted to nominate. I have his information.
Great.
You can consider it. I don't know if it's going to be every May. I'm assuming that's
what
we'll
meet.
Do.
You know what? We're having a committee meeting shortly coming up. The Lobby Row Hall is going to be the wall where we're making plaques for each of the inductees.
Mm-hmm.
But you can give that to me because our committee will meet once a month throughout the whole year, and we keep those on file. We keep a live file. All right. So I would say around January, February, we'll be calling for nominations again. So give it directly to me,
okay.
And it will be considered.
I definitely will. I have copies for everybody. In addition, one of the things they did, a type of pay-it-forward thing, was they did a veterans event as part of the reunion weekend. It was held over in Farmingdale at the Air Power Museum. It was really nice. He spoke. They had others speak. And I just think it's nice. I know from time to time we have residents asking, what's Ballard School do for their veterans and stuff like that. So this might be something you also want to consider at least sharing on the website.
Definitely.
All right,
thank
as
you.
Far as what's going on with our veterans. I will give that to you.
Mm-hmm.
I think I've asked this one before. I'm going to ask again. Connect Ed. I really would love to see that utilized for all taxpayers and not just for our parents. It's a great way to stay in touch with the community. We have a lot of taxpayers who vote, and I would love to give them a reason to vote yes every time we have to float something, particularly if we need to use the capital fund.
We sent something out in a publication that if they wanted to be part of that, all they have to do is call.
I think that's where the catch-22 comes in.
Yeah.
You send it out in a publication to who?
All taxpayers. Every resident got it.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know if it was big and bold and whether it was mixed into a budget highlights. I don't know that you would find it.
Right.
And if you're not connected, you're not going to know.
Right.
So if there's another way to do it, maybe you want to put it on the marquee for a month, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe ask the parent teacher associations to share it. Get it out to their parents and stuff like that. The activities in schools, especially with the bonds, you know, everybody's paying for that. I'm sure they would like to see
mm-hmm.
what's going on. Which takes me to my next question, the bond update. The last presentation on the website's in January. I'm hoping maybe we can get something updated on the website.
Okay. Peter, can you write that down?
Thanks. Sure.
And then when that gets done, the finances through May, maybe you can do the summer work, which would be great. Some of the students, we saw pictures of the blue and the red in the cafeteria. I have to say, I think the cafeteria looks amazing. But I would hope that we would stick with school colors where we can. It means a lot to the students if you speak with them. And I know, I believe next summer is lockers in the hallway. I'd like to think they won't be blue. Maybe like black and orange would be good. And I also heard that the old equipment in the kitchen, some of it was kept, some of it's not working. I'm curious as to what the status is. I don't need an answer right this second, but on equipment in the kitchen, what's the plan? It seems, if we're going to open this up to the taxpayers and say, look what we did with all these millions of dollars, you really want to show them everything, and to show them a kitchen that has the same oven from 50 years ago or 40 years ago, whatever it was, and it doesn't work, and other items like that, all right, would be great. And last but not least is the Babylon Beautification Society had their country fair this past weekend. I think everybody's pretty familiar with it. In speaking with a lot of the members of the Beautification Society, they are in demand. They very much need new blood in the Beautification Society. I will mention it to the kind of teacher associations and so forth, but I'll mention it here as well. If anybody knows anybody who'd like to get involved, they're, you know, the young people are 50, so they really could use some help.
Thank you. Thank you.
Good evening, Robert Straub. One quick question. There was some concern about how the primary voting was going to affect the gym, the use of the gym today. How did that go?
It went beautifully. From what I quickly saw, we had a lot of security. You know, we had a good number of security officers.
Okay, what was really the primary concern of it? I mean, don't they have voting in the schools all the time?
They do. You know, we did hear some concerns from parents. The concern is when people come in to vote, you're legally not allowed to make them show identification. So there are a number of parents who feel that that's an unsafe situation for school districts.
Yeah, but
that
I
is
mean,
the concern.
If worst comes to worst, can you have Board of Elections provide security for that area?
They won't do that. It's up to the school district.
If we have to provide extra security, I mean, it's really a non-issue.
And we did.
Thank you.
Any other questions or comments from visitors? Please.
Hi, my name is Kim Colantano. I'm one of the 67 families that lost the bus for the grade school and elementary school, and I have a child in the elementary school and the grade school. The bus stop comes two houses from my house, and we can't get on, which I'm sure you hear often. It's very difficult. I work 2 days a week, and my father-in-law, who's 75, has to hustle to get to the grade school, go to the elementary school to get my daughter. She's been sitting there. She's frustrated. She's a kindergartner. So I'm just wondering, what can we do? Is there any way to do universal busing? Is there a way to maybe bus the grade school kids to the elementary school that has siblings in the elementary school?
I will definitely give you a call tomorrow. You know, that second option is something that we might be looking into. In regard to, you know, universal busing, the voters of Babylon have approved the mileage limit, so any change would have to be voter approved.
Can I ask, though, I know last year it was dependent on if you were closer to the elementary school or grade school, you would get it either way, but now they changed it to the midpoint.
It's one midpoint, right.
Why
actually
did they change that?
Actually, they did that because that actually captured more riders rather than two distinct. In the past, a family might get it if the transportation if the child was going only to the elementary school, but that same child, once they moved to the grade school, lost transportation. So now a family K-6 has it for all those K-6 years. So that's why they went to the 1 point measuring point.
And one other question. So even if you don't make the distance, I understand, but if the bus stop is right there, like two houses from you, why by law can't you get on it?
Because it's by your individual house measure.
And there's no way, even if you get yourself there, right?
No,
there.
That's state law. Yeah, it's difficult. Yeah. But your second point, we've had some internal discussions to see if that's a possibility, if there's, you know, like a shuttle bus or some kind. But
the buses do go from the grade school.
I know. Right, and that's not considered transportation. That's considered like a field trip.
Mm-hmm.
So it's internal.
A lot, because the third and fourth grade doors, those wings to get out of that parking lot alone,
yeah,
it's very difficult. And then if you park in the middle and you're
right.
walking, it still takes time to walk. And my fourth grader wants to hang out with his friends. He doesn't
right.
want to come
right.
get his kindergarten sister.
Right.
So.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Can I just have your last name? Carafano, right?
Colantano,
C-O-L.
A-N-T-U-O-N-O.
Thank you very much.
Kelly O'Hara. I want to understand the decision-making process on when the children go out to play and when they don't. Because on the first day of school, they had inside recess.
Okay.
I'm not
aware of that.
Yeah, and for development of gross motor skills is very poor decision making. We should be drying off the playground for the children to go out to play.
Okay, thank you. I wasn't aware of that.
Okay.
Can I speak to that?
Is there a process in the, is there a decision-making process?
Usually our principals make those decisions based on the health and welfare and safety of the kids, so I'm sure there was a, maybe a very good reason.
Yeah. Was that the grade school?
No.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Okay. I've always stepped. Okay. I apologize. Never mind.
Is it the elementary school?
Okay.
Is there a district policy, like if they were out at the grade school and not out in the
There's no district policy. I mean, typically you try to get the kids out as long as it's not anything, you know, below 35 degrees sometimes, you know.
So then how can we be notified whether the children are outside that day or not out? Is there a way to get it on the website so that we can be notified?
We'll have to get back to you on that.
Okay.
Okay?
Any other questions from visitors, please?
Mrs. Alfaco O'Brien, can you tell us which policies were
Wait, we okay. have to talk to the board president.
Yeah. Oh, Mrs. Frazzi, do you want to share with us?
I didn't tell us which policies will be reviewed at the upcoming.
The policies that you're going to review at the policy.
I don't have the numbers offhand.
Okay.
But I can reach out to you tomorrow and let you know.
Mm-hmm. And for the audit committee, mm-hmm. will the audits once they're completed, will they be posted to the website?
The audits typically are posted to the mm-hmm. website, yes. Once we have a draft first that we review, and then once it's finalized and approved, then that would be posted to the website. Yes, correct.
Okay. And then Mrs. Frazzi, or Trish, I'm not sure if you're familiar with the process.
Okay.
Can you walk us through people who are out here who aren't familiar with the process for getting the mileage limitations changed, and who gets involved in that decision-making?
I could comment on it, but sure. if you want to, I mean, in terms of how we get a change in voter approval, okay, what has to be put forth and voted on for the board to be a resolution that would be voter approved? So that's why we're at this point, we're accumulating information, I know, and that's what we've asked for from our transportation specialists, you know, hoping to report back to us by late October, early November to give us concrete information. The last we asked for was different amounts that would cost in terms of reducing the mileage. Right now, being at 0.75, we asked for 0.5. I have it all listed down on the right with me.
0.25 in Universal.
Well, yeah, but we're not, yes, but there's different parts that we asked them for. So we asked for multiple pieces, and then we really take it into consideration as a board, and we have discussion. That would be public discussion, and then we would actually take a vote whether or not that it would be something that we would put forth for a resolution.
So I'm sorry, can you repeat which proposals you asked for?
I don't have them in front. I do not want to be quoted because I didn't have them written in front of me. If I go back to my transportation folder, which is not with me, which will be with me on the 28th, and I can quote that for you.
Is it 28th the next week?
Or the 25th. Sorry,
we'll get an answer to you by the way.
Okay.
Yes. So beyond the board, so the board first passes a resolution to do.
Well, we have to approve that we're going to put a resolution forth.
Correct.
Okay, for the vote. For the voters to approve. But the board first has to obviously get the information, have much discussion amongst ourselves. I think we hear a lot of public input, okay, in terms of that as well. That's part of the process. And then as elected officials, then we vote if we're going to put forth a resolution. If we do put forth a resolution, what resolution that will be based on cost, based on the cost and which mileage. And if that makes it to the ballot, then it's obviously up to the voters to approve it or not.
I think it's a petition process, too.
She's talking about us, I'm assuming. That was the process in terms of how we're board. That was what we were asked.
So that, but I mean, the preface to that is if the, you know, I believe this, well, okay. I mean, that's probably a question for Gary.
Right, but I'm just, I just was assuming the question was how do we do it? From this side, that is how we would do it.
And can you give us a timeline on that, Trish? Because I know we came to this last year, and it was March, and it just got too late.
Well, there is
the timeline changes every year. It's a certain number of days before. You have to have it published a certain number of days before.
Before the vote, right?
Yeah.
So
it changed, yeah. Yeah, we could answer that all 25th meeting, you know.
Yeah.
But it's depending on the date of the board.
Right, so not looking for a specific date. I'm looking more for a timeline of, you know, staying on track. If we're going to move forward, that we don't lose another year because we missed a deadline. By when do you have to make a decision whether you are going to go as a board put forth a resolution or not?
Well, in terms of be the board meeting before the due date where it would be published.
So that's the March meeting.
We have to get the timeline down.
Yeah. Well, that's what I'm wondering. Mm-hmm. Who knows the timeline? So we got to this position last year, mm-hmm. and it was. was told it was
usually sometime in March, but the date is a floating date depending.
Yeah, I'm not looking for March 16th or so. I'm saying, should it be January or February? You know, but at what point of the year do we have to have a concrete decision?
We'll get that information for you on the 25th.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thanks.
Surely. Any other questions or comments from visitors? Okay, let's talk about future board meetings, please. A work study will be on Monday, the 25th, 2017, and that will begin at 7:30, because we're back to regular time right here in the library. Then a regular meeting will be on Monday, October 2nd, 2017, again at 7:30. Okay, item 13, adjournment. May I have a motion to adjourn? Okay, Mrs. Jors, followed by Mrs. DeLerva. All in favor? 7-0. Okay. Thank you. Have a good evening, everybody. Thank you.